The truth of any matter can be a continuous search. How do you determine it? What is the barometer you use to establish verity in your life? There are so many outlets vying for your attention, attempting to define and redefine truth at every turn. The verity of the Word of God is the only standard that matters and never changes. It is the only truth that is perpetual and invariable, whether you believe it or not. Relying upon it as the authority in your life will bring you closer to your purpose and align you with its verity. Please join me on this episode of the Spoken Verity Podcast as my co-host and I speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God in love. Welcome to the Spoken Verity Podcast. My name is Arthur Medina, and it is my honor and privilege to host episode 5 of our podcast. With me are co-hosts Remy Echo and Wiley Harris III. Good morning, brothers.
Morning. Morning.
Just so you know, next week, Brother Remy will be bringing episode 6, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But for now, let's approach the throne of grace and say our prayer. Father, we just humbly come before you, Lord. And we ask you to be in our midst. We ask you, Lord, that any utterance or anything that we say or even think or do would bring you honor and glory, and that your Holy Spirit will move freely and will help us, Lord, to bring hope, to bring encouragement, and to bring clarity as you use us as instruments of righteousness and vessels of honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Last week, Brother Wiley brought a very, very strong episode that I'll let him have an opportunity to kind of recap what we talked about in our last episode. Brother Wiley.
Thank you, Brother Arthur. Well, welcome in, listeners. For an episode 4 recap, we examined and explored the sovereignty of God and specifically two aspects of mankind that he determines, our gender and our skin color. And our discussion encompassed 3 topics that gave clarity to our conversation. And so we talked about who God is and why he is sovereign. We examined his sovereignty over our gender. We examined his sovereignty over our skin color. While we were doing that, we also provided foundational scriptures when we were discussing those topics. It was a powerful session. And so for those that didn't catch that show or for any of our other TSV episodes moving forward, you can refer to our blog posts and transcripts of each episode posted on our website, thespokenverity.fm.
Thank you, Brother Wiley. I was getting ready to start putting up my Toastmaster flags because I was like, oh, whoa, whoa, now you're messing with my time on episode 5. You know what I mean? And
wow.
So in any event, we do welcome you this morning, and we hope that as we engage in this dialogue, that you'll hear from God in some way, and that something would just spark something inside of you that will make you worship the Lord, praise the Lord, and something, you know, to just encourage you by what we talk about today. And the conversation today will be centered around Ephesians 4:29, and I'll read out of the King James Version, and the scripture says this: let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In another translation, which is the New American Standard, it says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it may give grace to those who hear. So as we engage in this conversation amongst ourselves, what does this conversation look like for us? And I think it's so important, especially now in the current times where people push a narrative or there's rhetoric, and a lot of it is so self-serving dialogue with a hidden or not so hidden agenda. I like to think that when we speak, our, as the Bible says, our yes is yes and our no is no. There's no veiled stuff there. There's no loaded questions being asked. There's no, you know, you're not sure of, you know, we need to be clear about what we're talking about as it relates to the Word of God and our everyday interactions, which is what I like to focus on the practical side of things. You know, now I do want to say this. I probably am the worst one to not honor this particular passage of scripture. Because some people will say, man, the way you joke around, I don't think that's Christ-like. You know what I mean? And I do. I like to joke around, but it's never with malice. It's never with intent. It's never vulgar. You know, it's me just trying to lighten the moment for the most part. As Remy and Wiley know, we can engage in some serious conversation, and all of a sudden, I'm like, anyways, that's me saying it's not for us to get all upset. Let's keep moving. Let's move forward. The next one, you know, and stuff like that. So I guess I'm just going to open it up because I just want the Holy Spirit to move freely. And I also want our listeners to see, you know, look into the lives of three Christian men who pretty much interact every day on business levels, personal levels, and, you know, and everything in between. And you're going to get a glimpse of our conversation, our dialogue, how we process stuff. We don't always agree. That's for sure.
Right.
But there's one thing about the special bond that God has created among us is that we're brothers in Christ and we love each other unto death.
Amen.
You know, and Brother Remy has his mic muted. So you in the background, you know, he's like, praise the Lord. You know, you ought to sing. He's in the praise dance over there, I think.
I'll mute it now.
So what does it look like in a conversation on a daily basis? Describe your conversation, and whoever wants to take that first, take it.
Well, I guess I'll jump in. Brother Remy is taking his time getting to the mic. So, you know, this topic, your words, your conversation is really near and dear to me because I understand what I think a lot of believers to a certain extent understand, but are kind of working towards it in terms of some clarity in that we need to understand and know that our words have power. We are speaking spirits. So my conversation on a daily basis is to speak life and not death. And that takes form in a lot of different places, in a lot of different areas. And, you know, the James 3:11 says, and it talks about this in terms of a fountain. It says, there's a fountain, which would be yourself in this scenario, send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So no fountain can both yield salt water and fresh. So, and that's out of the King James, I believe. And so where you all have to remember this, listeners, is that what you're speaking, you have the authority and the power in the name of Jesus to speak it into existence. So where you are right now is a part of what you've spoken. Do you want the positive or do you want the negative? So in my own conversation within my family unit, because that's where it starts, right? It starts with your marriage, with your wife and your children. I'm generally positive. And when I say generally, obviously there's going to be some times where I make some mistakes in my conversation, but I'm generally positive. I'm definitely uplifting in terms of my conversation within my family unit and then with the people that I'm in charge of, whether it's people in my business, the managers that we have, or, you know, at church with the ushers that we have under our charge. We do our best to make sure that our conversation is uplifting. I am direct in my approach. I've always focused on the fact that if you say it right the first time, you don't have to go back and clean it up later. It's important that people understand where you stand, your convictions. So when you speak that, you speak it with authority and with clarity, and you do that in a way to where those that are around you are understanding it. And you do that by being direct and being consistent as well. Consistency is really important. And I think that this is something that we as believers need to understand, that consistency is very important in anything that we do, but especially with our conversation. If we say we're going to do it, then we need to do it. I think you mentioned this a little earlier, let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. If you say it, then do it. I mean, I think that's something that's really important. Keep this in mind too, during your conversation. It's not just what we speak, it's how we speak it. A lot of times our delivery is just as important. That body language that you, when you're speaking it, when I'm talking to my wife, there's a different kind of approach that I have with her, obviously, than when I'm speaking to my children, or when I'm speaking to an employee, or when I'm speaking to, you know, someone that's a volunteer. All of that in your cadence, in your tone, your body language, all of that matters. Knowing your audience is important too. And we'll touch on some of this as well. And the last piece of this, I have some more, but I really feel like I'm gonna cut it off here. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. Because see, if he's illuminating your mind, then the words that you're speaking will be life. It won't be what you see in this natural realm. There's so many forces that are out here in the culture, in the church, unfortunately, everywhere, that is attempting to get you to see and say things that is not scripture, that is not life. And if we stay focused on those things, as opposed to keeping our mind stayed upon him so that he keeps us in perfect peace, then we won't have these challenges. We will be able to speak the life that we need to speak, and our conversation will be what our God wants it to be in terms of how we lift people up and we speak to them and we now care for them with our words and our actions.
Great points, great points. And I want to kind of touch on something you just said about how your interaction with your wife is different from your employees and your children, et cetera. And I have to be, you know, very transparent about that. When my wife worked directly in the company with us, it was hard for me to shut it off at home. You know what I mean? That's just being honest about it. You know, I was treating her and talking to her like an employee, and, you know, she let me have it, you know? Right. And I was convicted of that. And of course, I repented. But yeah, that's a great point to bring out. Brother Remy, don't shy away now.
Never me. I'm from Wakanda. We don't shy away for nothing.
See, never me.
How is my conversation on a daily basis? So as much as possible, I try to make sure my conversation comes from the Holy Spirit, comes from a place of love. And I say as much as possible because we're still in process. I think Brother Wally always used this mid-process, like we mid-process kind of a phrase. But yeah, so every day I try as much as possible to make sure that the Holy Spirit is leading my conversation and not my flesh. A verse that comes to mind is Proverbs 4:23, where it talked about, New King James Version says, keep your heart with all diligence, from out of it springs the issues of life, right? So if I go to the gas station, it's to get gas or diesel. If I put that gas or diesel into oil, that's a mess up right there, right? It's supposed to go into the gas tank. Oil goes into the oil, water into water. So I say that to say, if the Holy Spirit is my guide and Christ is the king of my heart, if my heart is now where the lost issues of life springs out, with issues of life being conversation, how I treat others and all of that, then that means that's how it's guided, right? It's guided as to being empathic. That verse you brought up, right? Ephesians 4:29, I look at it a different way. I look at it like, it says, don't let any unwholesome word come out of your mouth, right? So I look at it like, okay, speak only what is helpful, try to build others up, and defer to others. Because it says, from one of the versions you quoted, I'm going to use that, the New American
Standard Version.
Yes. It says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such as is good for edification. So if I'm having a conversation, I try not to start with my agenda, my heart, my complaint, my problem. I'm saying try, not as in I'm weak, but I know that, okay, I don't want to come from my flesh. So I like the Holy Spirit direct me and make sure that, okay, because if somebody says something and I allow my feelings to take control, I'm going to respond from that place of, what did you just say? Why would you say that? So in me now allowing the Holy Spirit to guide me, taking a moment to just stop and think, you know, and this cuts across all of life. Brother Ali touched on all the areas, just as he is. I am married, leading a team at church and having business. And I interface with clients a lot. Just last night, a client that was trying to be funny was just going off. Unfortunately, I made the mistake of having a client have access to my personal number. And the client had some issues that they were dealing with in the process of our project. And I was being compassionate, like, okay, the project is supposed to end at this certain time, but you're dealing with something now, so I'll wait. So all of a sudden, that's done with. And now it's like, I want it. I'm like, well, you caused all this delay, you know? And I'm like, okay, and it's not even like I'm not working on it. I'm like, I'm working on it, but just going off. This is the last time I'm working with you. This is, and you know, in that place, I'm thinking like, are you serious? After all the grace I extended to you, this is how you're responding to me. Like, oh, this is it. So I bring that example to be like, I could easily go off and be like, what are you talking about? You know, look at what I did for you. And again, I had to allow the Holy Spirit to just help me. How do I respond to this? And it was, leave it alone. Don't engage. Just leave it. So again, how is my conversation on a daily basis? Led by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I fail and I'm convicted. Just like you talked about the issue of you being convicted with your wife, Brother Otto, and I have to repent if it's maybe to my wife, if maybe to a client, maybe to you, brothers. But it's that growth of learning. And Brother Wally touched on environment, on who you're talking to, like your audience, you know. And you have to also know that, too, different relationships bring different level of conversation, of communication. Mm-hmm. The way I talk to you guys, I probably won't be able to talk to guys that I grew up with back in Nigeria. They probably knew me longer, but there is a deeper connection here. There's a freedom, you know? Right. So, right. Yeah, but that's how my conversation is led by the Spirit.
Amen. That's great points. Great points. I think that one of the reasons this is so dear to me as well is the fact that prior to my being saved and redeemed by the blood of Jesus, is that my conversation was terrible. Every third word I said was a cuss word, you know, and then, you know, I heard a guy that he was conversating with another guy and it just really caught my attention. It was intelligent dialogue. There was no cursing and stuff like that. And then as I developed in the faith, I have a brother in Christ that he loved me enough to pull me to the side. And he said, you know, God's going to do some great things in your life. But when you give your testimony and you share about the power of God in your life, you really are discrediting yourself, because here you are, you know, talking like this on the basketball court. And yet over here in this setting, you're going to be talking about the word of God. And man, that convicted me. You know, because, you know, I used to make the rationalization in my mind that always just being competitive, I'm out on the basketball court, you know, being really aggressive and competitive and, you know, and normally sometimes when you're in that type of environment, because it wasn't with a Christian group of basketball players, this was, you know, guys that are worldly or not saved, and they get really competitive and they start talking a lot of trash, you know, and so I get right in there with them, you know, not thinking of how it's ruining my testimony. And so my brother, Ricky Bryce, He just pulled me to the side. And I appreciate that because that's what helped me to further get better and allow the Spirit of God to start taking that stuff out of my heart. And then one day, just another brother just kind of, I said, but as much as I work on that, as much as I do my best not to curse, even in the slightest word, I keep doing it. And I said, why do you think that is? And what he said next to me was like, wow, you know? And he said, well, that's because that's what's in your heart.
That's right.
I mean, again, in our minds, we will rationalize and try to, you know, fit it in where it's justified in some way, and it's not. It's sin. It's sin, and that can't be in my life. I stopped playing basketball because of that. From that point on, because the Bible says if this causes you to sin, cut it off. So that's why I stopped putting myself in those situations where if I don't have the discipline, but it's not trying to put a Band-Aid on it either. It's also addressing, listen, I have to deal with this. You know, I need to not have this in my heart. I don't want it in my heart. And so I think that I've done pretty good up to this point, you know, of even in the traffic jams, you know, when people cut you off and on the freeway or on the road, you know, those different little situations, you know, so far so good, I guess, you know. So let's kind of work into the way I'm going to break it down, and from how I believe God gave it to me, we might even want to take offering after I get done. You know what I mean?
Come on, so, man. Let me get the basket ready. So, I need an usher on aisle five.
Make sure he's got white gloves on too. That's
So the word unwholesome or corrupt is the Greek word sapros, and that means bad. It means rotten, worthless, literally or morally. And it's compared to another Greek word of poneros. But I want us to look like at Genesis 1 and how powerful our words can be based on how our Father God spoke.
Come on.
So God said, let there be light. Stop for a second right there and just look. When God spoke, something happened. Fast forward to when Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb.
Come on now.
He said, come forth, Lazarus. And again, I can't prove it. I don't know how, it's not in scripture, but I really believe that had he not said Lazarus' name, everybody that was in that tomb was going to come out looking like a thriller villain, you know, a thriller video, you know what I mean? So I'm just saying, you know, there's power. That's something to think about. And then the other thing is, you do not see anywhere where God is speaking negatively outside of judgment. Which he has every right to do.
Right.
So those are some examples for us to understand. There is, words are powerful, and we have a decision to make. Scripture says, I think Wiley said it, and he quoted Proverbs 18:21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit.
Yep.
The Good News Translation says it this way. What you say can preserve life or destroy it.
Right.
So you must accept the consequences of your words. Jesus says, but I tell you that men will give an account on this. This is taking it one step further. But I tell you that men will give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. That is Matthew 12:36.
Yes, sir.
That needs to really catch our attention there. What does he say? I'm going to repeat it. Matthew 12:36. But I tell you that men will give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Got to let that sink in our spirit. And I pray that that's the other thing about it. We can't say we don't know because now we know.
Right.
We are now accountable for what God has just shared with all of us.
Exactly.
In Matthew 15:11, it says, a man is not defiled by what enters his mouth, but by what comes out of it. In Matthew 15:18, but the things that come out of the mouth comes from the heart, and these things defile a man. Going to Colossians 4:6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So again, there's no such word in the Bible, in Hebrew or Greek, for coincidence. Okay? So it's not, we can't, no, let's not chalk it up and say, well, by coincidence, this or whatever. No, no, let's kind of, let's confront this and ask ourselves, what is it that when people engage me, whether it's in my conversation, the way I'm living, you know, what do people think of God because of you?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, are we cutting, like Brother Wiley said? And it's not just, it's not what we say, it's how we say it. You know, communication by definition is not simply talking, it's also listening. Encoding, decoding, by definition, that's what conversation is.
Come on.
So one, how is our conversation with God? That's going into prayer. How's your prayer life? It's been said, little prayer, little power. Mm-hmm. A lot of prayer, a lot of power.
Come on.
No prayer, no power. So how is your conversation with God? You know, when we have our daily prayer time, and what does that look like? Some people who are true prayer warriors, like I can't help but think about my wife and your wife, Brother Wiley and Brother Remy. There's some, that's another common denominator among us, is that our wives are prayer warriors. You know what
Amen.
I mean?
Amen.
And, and we help them have a closer relationship with the Lord just because of who we are.
That's right. Amen.
You know?
Amen.
So, but how are we with God in our prayer life? Because that is conversation. So how is our conversation with our family? You know, and I think that's probably one of the more heartbreaking things. It just seems that like family have a way of just kind of really testing you, and you really have to draw on the Lord for some of the things that, you know, you have to deal with from your, you know, family side. And then employees, in our case, how we interact with employees. I have to deal with a whole lot of different personalities on my side, you know, not to mention the clients and stuff like that. So, but the one thing that I'm most grateful for, and I'll never forget, and I think that I cried like a baby when God, you know, showed me this. I had a client that's an executive for a national account, you know, and he called me and he said, there were two conversations that come to mind. And he said, Arthur, how you doing today? And I said, I'm blessed and highly favored. And he goes, well, that's all I called. I just needed to hear that. You know, and then the other time, which is probably even more special in the sense that he called me not for a business contract. He called me to ask for prayer on certain things. And for me, that's what it's all about for me. And especially from a business standpoint, that's what it's about. Because my business, and you guys are pretty much the same, is our ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what is one thing we're not really touching on is that, like in the scripture, it says death and life are in the power of the tongue. What does it mean by death? Can we give some good examples of what does that really mean, Remy?
Yes. I'm going to come from the opposite side. The Bible says life and death is the palm of the tongue. And your question is, okay, what's death? But in order to understand that, or for me to be able to expand on that, I'm going to go to what is life. And Christ says that in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He continues to say, no one comes to the Father except me, but I want to pause at, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when I speak from the Spirit, when I speak Jesus, so to speak, right? When I am in that place of speaking from the fountain of life, I'm speaking life. So death is the opposite of that. Death is an absence of God. Death is an absence of the Spirit. Death is flesh. Death is me wanting to be prideful, you know, me wanting to be famous or whatever it is. I'm being led at this point to go into what we are seeing right now in the U.S. primarily and mostly around the world. The power of life and death. How words can bring life to a situation and how words can bring death when you are all about yourself. Like I started with my initial response to the first question, when you respond to people, are you responding to people based on your feelings, your emotions, or your need, your desires to elevate yourself, or are you responding how the Spirit is leading you? So I would say, yeah, death is the opposite of Christ, because Christ is life.
Amen. Brother Wiley?
Well, before I answer the question, I'm surprised that Brother Remy did not reference the fact that Brother Arthur just gave probably the longest monologue in the history ever of TSV. Like, that was super long. And I don't ever want to hear either one of you say anything about me being long-winded. That said, within that, it was really good. And I want to touch on something before I answer your question. Mm-hmm. When you talk to your people in your business, people that are your clients, there's a level of accountability that's there. And that's very important. You highlighted that. You didn't talk about it, but that's what you were referencing. The accountability that we need to have with not just with people, but with the words that we're speaking when we're talking to people. We are accountable for that. And he knew that he could come to you for prayer and for positive words in terms of uplifting, blessed and highly favored. That's all he needed to hear. And then he went on about his day, because he knew that he could get that from you. So there's a lot of things you said, but that is what I honed on in particular, because of the fact that you were outside of your required responsibility in terms of your family and scripture. Now you've extended that out to people that you don't always have a daily connection with, and yet they know that I can come to Brother Arthur and have this level of conversation and be accountable for my own words and what I want to hear and put into my own spirit by listening to you. So I thought that was great. And I definitely appreciate you sharing that. As long as it was, I still appreciate it. Thank you. So what does death mean? And we've talked about this. We've kind of touched around on it during this episode. It means to be cut off, whether spiritually or naturally or both. When I say cut off, I'm talking about from God. If you are not saved, so let me make that clear. You can be cut off spiritually, meaning in hell or in a holding place before you get there, because you have not received Jesus Christ as your risen personal Savior. If you are saved, you can still be cut off from the words that you're speaking. You can be a believer, but your traditions, as scripture says, have made the word of God not affect in your life. So there are things in your life that can be dead because you have not allowed scripture to illuminate it, to make it alive, to quicken it, because you're not operating in it. So that's one specific piece in terms of death. But, you know, from a practical perspective, speaking death is really any word that's contrary to the word of God. Whatever's not truth, whatever's not verity. And I'm going to take this a step further. And this is something that I think a lot of believers deal with. I mean, everybody does, but specifically believers. And I don't think it's something that we pay a lot of attention to, because we don't give it as much credibility as some other sins. But worry is death speak. Matthew 6:31 says to take no thought saying. And so when it says that, it's talking about what we're going to eat or what we'll drink, or wherewithal we're going to be clothed. It's a prideful thing, because you're trying to figure out how this is going to be done when Jesus already said that I meet your need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. he already said that. So then there's no reason for you to be thinking about how it's going to happen. You just receive it as it does. Make sure you do your part, though. You have a job. Be diligent. Be consistent with that so that there is a door opening for that. If you're in business and you're responsible for others from an employer perspective, then you make sure that you are handling that in a way of being a steward over what God has given you. Because, yeah, your name may be on those documents, but ultimately you're a steward. I mean, you're not taking it with you when you leave. And not just worrying being a death speak, it's sin. I remember when I first read this scripture, I got nervous. I was like, this is crazy. Romans 14:23, it says that he that doubteth is damned if he eat. And what he's talking about here to the church is it's about your actions in terms of what you do. So if you're eating something and you're not eating it in faith because you think it's wrong to eat it, then you're already condemned. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever. So any of those things that you are doing is not of faith. It is sin. Two more points. Who we talked about this a little bit. In 1 Corinthians 15:53, it says, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. You cannot hang around people that are not speaking life and think you're not going to be affected by it. Arthur brought up playing ball with various people that were not saved. Well, I mean, that was me too. I played basketball, loved it, still love it. It's my favorite thing to do when I'm in shape. I'm just not in good shape to play right now, but I played it for a long time, played, you know, high school, college ball. And when I got on the court, my whole perspective changed. I was there to destroy you. I wasn't there to help you. I wasn't thinking about that. And my conversation, my action, everything was that. And then when I come off the court, I attempt to want to change it and be somebody that's benevolent and wants to help and, you know, all of these great things. And I'm out of line. My words and my actions weren't aligned. And so we have to know that the evil communication does corrupt good manners. The last thing, 1 Corinthians 2:13, it says, which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. If you are not allowing Holy Spirit to speak through you, and you'll do that by reading his word, then you are going to speak death. That's just going to happen. That's the default mechanism that's in you. Speak life by speaking what Holy Spirit says, and that's coming out of the word.
Amen, amen. You know, I think that when you say, and I'm not sure if the listeners are going to catch that, and that's why I want to touch on it. When you allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you, let him speak through you. Hmm. Don't hesitate. Do it.
Right, right.
You know, too many of us tend to fall into, well, I never attended a seminary. I never attended theological school or Bible. No. I mean, I can think of an occasion in scripture where the guy was sitting under a tree and all he had was his Bible, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the people that were the early disciples, you know, John, Paul, Peter, all these guys are just common men, just like you and I, that God used. So it's not about what your talent is. God is just wanting someone to be available to use. And he wants to use you. And I'm talking to you, the one that's listening right now.
Mm.
You know, don't allow the enemy to say that you can't be used. And watch how God will begin to transform your life. You'll start seeing that when you focus on this and you make this a priority in your life, God is going to do amazing things through your life if you let him.
Amen.
Amen.
And so, but again, other ways of looking at death is of negativity, hatred, mm-hmm. bitterness. These are all things that are not of God. They're not of God. What is of God? And so I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's in Galatians 5 that we find that answer. In Galatians 5, I think it's 23. but actually verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Okay, so now that's called the fruit, not fruits, but it's the fruit of the Spirit. So in other words, you have this. It's not multiple choice. Mm-hmm. This is what you do have as a believer. Okay. And then when we go to Philippians, so whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, he says, think about such things. And May said this, of course, has also been attributed to a picture of a Christian mind, a mind. But if you think about it, what you think is usually what you do. Amen?
Amen. Amen. That's it. Yep.
I mean, and so that's why these are things that we need to really take on and just say, you know, if I'm going to speak something, I want to speak what's true.
Yes.
I want to speak honorably. I want to speak what's right. Mm-hmm. I want to speak what's pure. You know?
Absolutely.
Something to think about. Something to think about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I think it was in Matthew 12:37 on New King James Version. It says, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You were in 36, you know, talking about everybody give account, but, you know, I took it a little bit down to that next verse, you know, by your words you will be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. That's exactly what it is, life and death. So make sure that what you're speaking, you're sure of it, because you'll be held accountable for it, right?
Amen. Yeah. So like Wally said, it can be worry. If all we're talking about is what we're worried about, then we're forgetting about who our God is. Mm-hmm. You know, our God, I mean, there's nothing too big for our God. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he genuinely loves and cares for us. And it matters. It really does matter. Don't take it to and put it at the foot of the cross and then hold on to it. If you're going to give it to God, give it to God. Don't play tug of war with them, mm-hmm. you know, but,
you know, when we're talking about speaking, we also have to make sure that we're speaking the truth in love. I mean, we talk about that. That's kind of what we talk about here at TSV. We speak the truth in love. And sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes it pulls at something that you may have wanted to hold on to. But the truth brings light. And when you do it in love, it's something that will allow the hearer to be able to now take a look at where they are in their life and use that truth, use that verity to be able to now remove the things that are holding them back from fulfilling purpose, from fulfilling destiny. And when you do it in love, when you deliver it in the proper way, that used to be a big deal for me. I would always say, well, the message has more weight than the delivery of the message. And to certain people, that's true. Like, it takes a lot to get me offended because I know where I am. And when scripture tells me to great peace of they that love thy law and nothing shall offend them, that means the law of love, the law of God. I know who I am. And so it's take a lot to get me to a place of offense, but not everybody is there. And so you have to remember that the message and how you're delivering the message is just as important as the message that you're delivering. And so when you do it in love, you'll give grace to the hearer, as scripture says. And it's really important for you as the one that's speaking it, that you speak the truth in love. And that's what we attempt to do here at TSV every day and every time we come on the air.
Amen. And I want to follow up with verse 9, because I think it can easily be overlooked. And Paul is saying this. Remember, when he wrote Philippians, he was in prison. In the dungeon. But he said this in verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me,
do it,
or seen in me,
mm-hmm. do,
put it into practice.
That's right. Yeah.
And the God of peace will be with you.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And don't we need peace today?
Yes. Yes,
we sure do.
So, I mean, that's, that's how I really want to kind of wrap this up and say that I pray that you've heard something from us today, again, as I began, that will bring a little more clarity to something. I don't know how God has spoke to you. I just pray that he's used us to bless you in some way. Brother Remy, I'm going to ask you this question. What's your takeaway today? Because again, we can preach it, but God's still working with us too. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
So what's your takeaway from today's episode?
Matthew 5:13, right? I'm just going to go from 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled upon by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In wrapping everything we've said, right? What we speak, our conversation, what does it look like, speaking life or death? It's also showing people glimpse of Christ, right? We're here saying, oh, we are Christians, we are disciples of Christ, born servants of Christ. So when we speak, it's also an example for people to see it, as we've been commanded to let our light shine. So light is not dead. Light is not anything negative. So we should always try to bring positivity into every situation, to try to see the good in others, to speak from a place of love. So that's my takeaway from today. It cuts across everything we do, but specifically for today's episode about conversation, we should be salt and light, adding that little bit of flavor and making sure that we shine so that all may, because you know what it is, light and darkness. When you have light, that means people can see. If there is darkness, people can see. So even from your conversation, you can bring light to people. Amen.
Amen. Like how you said, a little bit of spice, you know, they can't ever go wrong with a little pico de gallo, yeah, man.
There you go. That's it. A little cayenne right there. Just sprinkle a little bit.
Brother Wiley, what's your takeaway today?
There's a lot of things that we can take away from this, but I think the main pieces of it is just understand the power of our words, that our words can either enact the death cycle or the life cycle. And we choose to stay in the life cycle because life comes from Jesus Christ. And that's, we have our eternal life through him. And so because of that, our words, our thoughts, our actions need to reflect that. You know, we know that our words start as thoughts. And when the scripture says that a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we need to make sure that we are thinking and meditating on scripture that will now produce life words out of our mouths, understanding that our families and those that we're responsible for, whether in business or our jobs or in our community efforts, we know that those words, because as leaders, we know that our words have that authority and that power. We need to make sure that we're speaking life and not death, that we are continuing to lift up and edify those that we're responsible for and those that we come in contact with. And as long as we continue to keep that in the forefront of our minds and making sure that who's around us that is influencing us is not evil, it does not have a place that they are not saved, then it'll allow us to now be able to continue to speak life into others. And so that is my takeaway for today.
Awesome. Amen. Awesome. You know, for me, I think that when I prepared for this, it was just simply wanting to be a vessel that speaks life to anyone and everyone around me, and how I really got to work on that, especially with my wife. You know, I have to, because my wife is my missing rib plus a bonus. And, you know, I really believe that I've got to speak better with her, and that's just being transparent. You know, I think no matter how, we can't ever be doing a great job, and we got to do better, you know, and keep getting better.
Absolutely.
So I just have to be more intentional. And overall, that people will see God in my conversation, in the way I live, and the way I, and they'll actually, by the way I live, they'll understand how I am, the characteristics that come from God that are honorable. You know, next week's preview, I want to give Brother Remy a chance to share a little bit and give us a snippet of what next, our next episode preview will be. Brother Remy?
Yeah, thank you, Brother Arthur. So for episode 6 of the Spoken Verity podcast, we're going to be talking about marriage. Brother Wiley opened up the door in episode 4, gender and communication. It all ties into it, and specifically focusing on a Christ-centered marriage. What does that look like? And I know it will be a half-side conversation because marriage involves our beautiful wives, but maybe a future episode we'll have them involved in the conversation and pick it up from where we take it next episode. But just from our perspective as blood-bought, Holy Spirit-filled men of God, what does a Christ-centered marriage look like?
Amen. I do want to close out with prayer. Father, we just humbly come before you in Jesus' name. We thank you for this time that we've been able to share your word, the insights we believe that come from you. And we appreciate that you would find us worthy, Lord, to speak of your truth and to speak of your love, and that how you love us so unconditionally, you sent your son, Jesus, to die for us. And that today, Lord, that we learned that when you spoke, something happened. And I pray, Lord, that today as we spoke as utterances of you or from you, and that the people will have been encouraged, would have been enlightened, and above all else, will want to draw closer to you. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you for listening to TSV this week. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you use to do so. Please know that we love and care about you. If you haven't believed and received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to do so today. Please go to thespokenverity.fm/salvation to accept the leading of the Holy Spirit and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Until our next encounter, speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth, that is the Word of God in love. All the blessings.